If you take off on a trip and you've got all the signs before you and you say to yourself, I know what it says, but I'm going to go this way instead. How's that going to work out for you? Now, there are times that you might ask Siri or your GPS or whoever you're talking to on your phone how to get someplace, and you say how to get to, for example, one that happened to me one day, how do you get to Ocean City? Siri, can you get me to Ocean City? Sure. Only thing was, they were trying, he, she, whatever is behind it all, was trying to take me to Ocean City, Maryland, not Ocean City, New Jersey. So there are times you get bad advice because you didn't ask the right questions. But there are times it's pretty obvious, right? It's pretty obvious how to get to a place. And if you say to yourself, yeah, but I don't want to go that way, you wonder how it's going to work out. And it's pretty obvious when we come to Matthew chapter 7. We're at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. So we've been with Jesus a little bit in the parables. This goes back before all of that, to the end of this great Sermon on the Mount. So this stopover with Jesus and listening to the sermon. I'm not going to take you through all the Beatitudes. We've done that before. But I want to take you to the end of the sermon, and I'm going to give you over the next few weeks. By the way, in 2 weeks, I'll be taking my daughter to college. And so Pastor Neff, if you remember Pastor Neff, he'll be with us. He'll be sitting in a chair down here, but he'll be with us to speak that in a couple of weeks on a Sunday morning. But in Matthew chapter 7, when we come to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, it's the most obvious principle. I'm going to give you four principles, but today just the first one. So over the next few weeks, four different principles. Today just the first one, and it's just an obvious one. It's one so obvious that I shouldn't even have to tell you. But how many times do I interact with people on some subject, and they'll say, well, I know what the Bible says, but in my circumstance, you know, and it's always going to work out different for them. It's so obvious, but for them it's going to be different. And the principle that we'll come to this morning here are just like signposts, guideposts. Pay attention to what the Word of God says, what's before us. Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to start with verse 13. We'll read the entire section, but we're only going to look at the first two verses. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Now notice how it's marked. Because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to what? But it's different in your case, isn't it? And many there be that go in thereat. And everybody else is. Because straight is the gate. It looks narrow. It's not very inviting, which leadeth unto life. Aren't there other ways? And few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree, nothing but corrupt evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Right? The proof of the pudding or something like that? I don't know. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then I'll profess unto them, for all the good they've done, I never knew you. Depart from me. You that apart from me, apart from the Holy Spirit, for all the good you've done, it's just filthy rags. You work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him unto a wise man that built his house. I won't break out into the kids' song, but you've heard it, haven't you? The wise man built his... No? Oh, not another one. Okay, so the rain descended, right? And the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall not... not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew. People say we've got more destruction on our coastlines than ever before. Well, people are building their houses out on the ocean further than ever before. So no wonder. And it beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And then these last couple of verses, as Jesus concludes, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Because see, he got at the heart of the matter. That's always the deal with Jesus. He got at the heart of the matter. They were astonished at his teachings in this sermon, for he taught them as one having authority and not like the scribes. Well, this great sermon of our Lord concludes with a series of contrasts, some comparisons that we'll go through in the next few weeks. There's two paths. You'll see that today, that we're going to follow one or the other. You can't choose this one and part of that one. It's they diverse, right? And they get further apart. Two prophets that you could listen to. Choose wisely who you're going to listen to. Two professions that you might consider. And finally, the building of the house, those two projects that are under construction. The passage of comparison is what I've called choices that we make. And in these choices that we make, it will answer for you all of those life questions. Like, why am I here? Right? Everybody wants to know, why am I? Well, to what great purpose am I here? Why am I here? What am I living for? Where am I headed? These questions are answered by choices that we all make, and there is no middle ground. It's either this way or that. They are mutually exclusive, and at the moment of death, your choice is eternally sealed. Today we're going to consider the most obvious one. I even read a book. Now, you may not be a fan of his. Don't persecute me. I'm not a great fan, but I read the book, and it's a good book, and he almost didn't write the book. Andy Stanley, I'll just give you his name. But he almost didn't write the book because he said it just seems so obvious. It just seems so obvious. You know the poem, Robert, Two Roads. Did you have that in high school? Two roads diverged in a... I never was quite sure what it was all about, but it makes some sense. It fits in. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry, I could not travel both, right? You got to make a choice. Yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. And then finally he wrote, I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. It's an obvious principle. But the path you choose makes all the difference in life and, in fact, in eternity to come. Well, if you take this road, if you take that exit, if you live like that, if you make those choices, it's pretty clear how things are going to turn out. You can't ignore it. The signposts are clear. Others have gone before you. You can see how it's worked out in their life. First of all, look at the opening of each path. Again, it's so clear, so obvious. Before you ever take the first step, each path is distinctly marked, right? There's a different gate. Each gate is going to tell you everything you need to know about the path that you are about to enter. I mean, it's not like you're going to end up in heaven or hell, for that matter. You're not going to end up in some place in eternity and think to yourself, how in the world did I get here? You will immediately know how you have gotten to where you are to spend all of eternity, because you'll remember the choice you made and the path you took, and it led you there. The entrance to the narrow path is a straight gate. It looks different from the very beginning. It demands a little bit of self-denial, and right off the bat, nobody wants that. Nobody likes. How many times have I talked to somebody about the Lord, and they'll say, well, they'll throw out something right off the bat. You mean, but if I got saved, would I have to? Like, you're already missing the point. You're already missing the point if your conversation goes to what you have to deny yourself in order to receive the Lord. But there, it looks constrictive right off the bat. Everything I want in life is not going to fit through that door, right? It's like the kid with his hand in the cookie jar. You've never done this, but you ever stuck your hand in something to grab, I don't know, whatever. But the typical story we tell is the kid with his hand in the cookie jar, and he grabs a handful of cookies. And he can't get his hand out of the jar unless he does what? He's got to let go of some of the cookies, right? But our human nature says, I don't want to let go of it. They're my cookies. And if I don't grab them, somebody else is going to grab them. And we don't want to let go. And we bring up something that, well, if I got saved, you know, I'd have to, yeah, maybe. But that's not the issue. The issue is, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ? And you'll find that things are going to fall off to the wayside. But you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven with any kind of caveat, you know, that says, I'm this kind, you know, I'm this Christian. And we sort of list our hang-ups, and that's the kind of Christian we are. No, those things we gladly let go of. In contrast to the narrow gate, there's also there a wide gate. And the wide gate leads to a broad path. So it looks a lot easier from the very beginning. I can take all my stuff with me. And not only that, it looks like I'm going to have a lot of company. I mean, not only can I take all my stuff, everybody else is taking their stuff. We're all just going to have a grand time together. Why would I want to go over there? I can't take it. There's not as many people. It looks constrictive. I got a lot of stuff. Remember the story of the rich man? Jesus placed his finger on the one thing that he had an issue with, all his stuff. Jesus made this claim. Now, this isn't how you get saved, but he laid his finger on the one thing, right? He said, well, then sell all you have and give it to the poor. And he says, I can't do that, right? Because I got a lot of stuff. So I'm not going to do that. There are times when Jesus will lay his finger on the one thing that you've got a hang up about. And he'll say, no, you can't bring that into the kingdom of heaven. If that's what you want to hang on to, you're going to choose that over me. You're going to take that broad path because it's not going to demand you make any choice in that regard. To enter the narrow gate requires that I lay aside every sin and the weight that does so easily beset me, right? Hebrews 12. In contrast to that, one can enter in through the wide gate. It requires no change. It requires no sacrifice. It requires no denial. And everybody looks like they're having fun, and I'm quite comfortable with my life right now. Thank you very much. And so we go that way. Now picture, if you can, the ancient cities. You've seen movies and stuff like that. Picture an ancient city with these big, huge gates, right? Swinging on big iron hinges and all that stuff. And these big, huge gates, and they're fashioned that way so that when the gate swings open, as many people as possible can enter in, right? They're big, strong gates. But when they're open, I mean, they're wide open, and everybody can enter in together. But there were also lesser known gates. And you've heard the story of when Jesus talked about it's easier for a camel to enter into the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter. You remember that conversation? Well, that's a reference to one of those little gates that's hidden along the way. And sometimes you'd almost have to get down on your hands and knees to get in through that little gate. It wasn't widely known. It wasn't widely used. It was rather hidden. And travelers had to take great care to pass through one by one that little door. The smaller, lesser known gate is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to tell us about this truth. The opening to each path is Christ. Sermon here is either a wide gate or it's a narrow gate. Jesus said in chapter 10 of John, verse 9, I am the door, right? If any man will enter in, how do you get there? How do you get to heaven? There's only one way, it's only one door, it's only one way, the Lord Jesus Christ. If me, by any man will enter in, he shall be saved. We cannot be swept up in the crowd and hope for the best. We must seek for the narrow gate, the door that is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, at this door, each person carefully considers their choice. I think that's what Jesus had in mind. Back up in the same chapter, same sermon, back up in verse 7. You know this, right? Ask, and it'll be given you. Now, we use these verses for a lot of things, but keep it in the context here. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. This is conversation in the heart of the matter regarding your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want to know how you can be saved? Do you want to know, even as you consider the Lord Jesus, as you consider your relationship to the Lord Jesus, do you want to know if this is good or that is good? Do you want to know if this is right or that is right? Do you want to know if you should be here or there? Ask. What did James say? James said, ask, right? For wisdom, God will give it to you liberally. He's not going to hold it back. He's not trying to hide something from you. He wants you to know, and He wants you to follow after Him. Ask. Ask of the Lord in the circumstances. You can't be swept up in the crowd and hope for the best. Are you facing decisions in life? And this is to believers now. You facing decisions in life? Ask. Seek. Knock. You'll find the answer to life's most important questions when you ask of the right place, the Lord Jesus and His Word. And then just look at the opportunities. Again, just an obvious truth, but look at the opportunity. One path is called a broad way, right? So it's pretty wide open opportunities, right? And the other is called a narrow way. The broad way implies easy, carefree living, wouldn't you think? I mean, it's a pretty wide open. They look like they're having fun. I didn't have to give up my Sunday mornings to go to church. I mean, that's how ridiculous is that? I didn't have to deny myself this thing or that because everybody else is. The narrow way implies a constricted, if not difficult, way. Following after the Lord Jesus Christ is not a bed of roses, and it doesn't imply that you'll have it easy while everybody else is struggling. Probably, and more, it will be that in this world you will suffer persecution. Right? Jesus said, if you follow me, right? What did they do to Jesus? And Jesus said, if they did this to me, what do you think they're going to do to you? If you follow after me, and this is what the world did to me, what do you think is going to happen in your life? In the narrow way, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Well, the straight gate is in fact a harder choice. It's the road less traveled, and it seems to cut directly against the flow of the majority of travelers going every other way. You could find illustrations. I just think of the illustration of the salmon swimming. You like salmon? I'm making you hungry now, aren't I? Salmon swimming upstream, right? The salmon, you've seen stories of that. You've seen pictures of that, the salmon swimming upstream. It's kind of that way. It's kind of like you're going against the current. You're going against the flow. You're going against the way of everything else. But you can't simply be swept up in the tide and hope to expect that you're going to have good things only ever happen to you. Everybody else, if you're following after the crowd, then everybody else is making the choice for you. You think you're so independent, really. If you're following the crowd, then the crowd is making the decision for you. Sometimes we go upstream. It's like the wide gate is like being caught in the left-hand lane. I don't know if you've ever, I remember driving through New York City or wherever you can think of. And I'm going along with the flow of traffic. And suddenly, this strange voice says, Exit now. Exit now. I'm like, a little warning would have been helpful because I'm in the wrong lane and I can't exit now. And sometimes you'll find yourself, if you just go along with the flow of life, you'll find yourself in the wrong lane and you know you should have exited. You should have gotten off there. But you're going to find yourself in a place you never thought you'd be, in a circumstance you never imagined you would have, because you just got pushed along with the crowd. You know you should have exited back there. And then sometimes I'll say the narrow gate is like when I travel home to West Virginia. When I travel home, now I say to people, you know, you look up the stars at night. I say, well, you've never looked up the stars at night in West Virginia. Climb some mountain where there's no other lights around, and then look up at the stars. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visit? I mean, what in the world? And you see the stars. But I got to tell you, when I travel home to West Virginia, there comes a point at which I feel like everybody else is going another way, right? So I'm going down, let's say, 81. You could go down 81. You could hit 64, take it over to 77. You could, there's other ways you can go, but if you're going down 81, for example, it's a super busy highway. You've been on 81. You know 81, super busy, not my favorite. And then I get off on 64, but I'm not going east, I'm going west. And so I'm not going toward the big cities. I'm going toward open spaces. And there's less cars. And then when I get to Ripley, West Virginia, and I get off my exit, and I'm like, nobody's following me. Everybody else is going somewhere else. But where am I headed? I'm headed home. And I got to tell you that the more life you live, the less you're going to find people are following you. But you've got to keep your eye, your mind, your thoughts on where you're headed. I'm headed home. To be able to call heaven home. And when I look around, it's like fewer and fewer people are going there. It seems like, right, the old spiritual song, heaven. Heaven, everybody talk about heaven, ain't going there. Heaven, heaven, oh my Lord. But I am. Even when I look around and see that the crowd isn't following after me. Well, the world wanders aimlessly through the broad way, searching for meaning to life, ever learning, Paul told Timothy, but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. The broad way will promise to give you anything and everything you want, but it won't deliver nothing you need. In contrast, the hard way will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, Philippians 4. So I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that leads us to consider the outcome of each of these diverging paths. You see it there in verse 13. Where does the broad way lead? To what? Destruction. I know what you're saying, preacher, and I get that and all that, but it's going to be different for you. Really? Okay. Destruction means to lay waste. It refers actually to eternal damnation. Where else can this be referring to but hell? But still people will say, yeah, but... And then you see verse 14. Where does the narrow way lead? Verse 14, the narrow way leads to what? Heaven, life, right? To life. It's abundant life. Jesus said, I've come to provide. What else can this be referring to but everlasting life and heaven? The outcome of each path is clear: everlasting life or everlasting death. I mean, the signposts are all around. The gates are clearly marked, and still people will say, but you know, preacher, looks like it's worked out for... I think it'll be okay. The outcome is a winding spiral into the pit of hell, or a narrow stairway leading to the gates of heaven. The worst of each path has been clearly laid out for us. One is hard, leads to life. One is easy, and it leads to death. When considering the worst of each, I think you agree with me that the choice is clear, but you have to choose. And you see the offer that's made. On the one hand, many there be that go therein, right? The Broadway, many, they're going to go. On the other hand, few there be that choose this narrow gate. You may follow the crowd or the cross, but you cannot follow both. There are just two paths for you to consider. Consider the facts. Count the cost. Broad is the road that leads to death, and thousands walk together there, but wisdom shows a narrower path with here and there a traveler. Consider Wilder's better choice, this little story I'll give you. In 1839, two men shared honors in their graduating class in Middlebury College. So this goes back a long ways, before your time, before any other illustrations, but they're sharing honors in their class. In fact, the two men had been born the same year and even on the same day. I mean, how much more can you have in common? One man was admired as he set out to become a lawyer. He rode rapidly to success in his profession. The other man was called a fool to follow his dreams in India to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Why, people would say, would you bury yourself in such a God-forsaken land? Well, the lawyer amassed wealth, married a beautiful young lady. Together they had a daughter. Everything's going well. The missionary preached to 3,000 cities and villages, scattered more than 3 million tracts, brought more than 3,300 children into an orphanage. However, the lawyer's wife and daughter tragically were killed. In sorrow, Mr. Strange took his own life, which sounded like, I was thinking, all I can think of was the Class of 57, this old song. But it just, if you go through that, and just the how people can go to the same school, live in the same community, even go to the same church, have so much in common, and yet end up in such different places. Mr. Wilder, the other fellow, he founded the Missionary Review of the World. He gave his life for Christ in India with hopes of seeing many come to the Lord as a result. Now you tell me, sitting in church, of course, it's obvious. You tell me, which man had the most impact? Sitting in church, you'd say, well, the guy that had, you know, thousands of kids in an orphanage, started churches, told millions about the Lord, will one day see many in heaven as a result. In church, we'd say that guy. But whether you're graduating from high school or you're entering into college or you're in life, some of you are at the point or coming to the point of retirement, and you look around and you say, that guy. And we start to identify success by the stuff of this life. Remember what Jesus said. He is a fool who lays up treasure for himself in this life and is not rich toward me. It's pretty obvious, right? I mean, it's an obvious principle. The gates are clearly marked. The choice has been made, and most of you have chosen. You've chosen in that singular gate, that small gate. You made the choice. You've entered in. And as you've lived your life, you find them getting diverging further and further apart. And it seems like fewer and fewer people are following in the way that you're following. Are you convinced it's worth it? Don't try to grab things from, you know, the world and the other side and identify yourself as, you know, in the world as some sort of that Christian. No, you're either following Christ or you're following the world. You end up in this place I call home, you call heaven, or you end up in the place, this terrible pit that was never prepared for you in the first place. It's for the devil and his angels, but you'll be there and you will not be able to say, how did I get here? You will know exactly for all of eternity how and why you've ended in this terrible place called hell.